Welcome to the Sports Brewery Podcast. I'm Alex Braga. If you'd like to get involved in the show by suggesting a list or trivia segment, all you got to do is hit us up on Twitter at Jeromny, at TSB Ski, or at TSB Pod.
Melancholic is a metabolic cinematic frolic with a planetary tender only make a left there. Anatomically correct biology. I never phony got myself a drift inside another galaxy. The womanality is just analogy. But Mother Earth is on the brink. So what you think? We gotta bring it back. Making it to the limit with no gimmicks. If him and then with your spitting good riddance. A hindrance to the innocent victims. A monolithic stylistic midgets. A murder mystery.
You really crying about Felipe Franks and Arkansas getting screwed.
Did you see it though?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yes.
Did you see the play?
So yes, I saw the play.
Bo Nix is going to spike the ball. He takes a snap, fumbles it, never really has the ball at all. And then, like, when he does get it, throws it behind him. Like, that's a fumble. Like, period. So whether or not they recover it, which I think they did recover it. But
no, they didn't.
They should have lost, like, 10 yards at least. And then they go on and kick the game-winning field goal the next fucking play. It's like, that is... So obviously I'm not watching college football when college football is happening because who the fuck is doing that anymore? But I watch the highlights on YouTube because apparently there are no rules when posting highlights on YouTube anymore. Like there's one guy I follow on YouTube who posted all of the NBA playoff highlights, like condensed games. And so it literally just cuts out the fat and it's like a full game in 20 minutes. He does that with college football too, WNBA, like everything. Like I mean, the NFL does it themselves, so he doesn't need to do NFL. I'm sure that's the one that would get him fucking a cease and desist letter. But
MLB is the strictest of all.
That's
yes,
fair.
They are. Yes, that's,
they
are.
You cannot share.
You can't
their
even throw up a GIF. Yeah, you can't even. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't even throw up any peanut butter. It's crazy. Because that's what GIF is. GIF is peanut butter.
Ah, well, not according to the creator of them, but whatever.
Graphic interface. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, I didn't invent it. The guy did, and he says it's a GIF.
Speaking of college football, the Ducks have been practicing this week, so that's a thing. Does that make you guys feel better about things?
Not really.
Yeah. Diamador Lenore is wearing number 0, which is a new thing in college football this year. It looks fucking weird. I don't know if you've noticed it on, because there's a guy on each side of the ball who has number 0 now on pretty much every team. And I don't like it. It's not natural. I don't care for it.
But do they have reasoning of why all of a sudden they're allowing 0? Just quirky COVID season? Just
it's
throw
not,
out a
it's
0?
Not like they have like retired numbers or anything, you know? Like. Yeah. Wait, do colleges have retired numbers?
Yeah, a lot of, yeah. Have you ever watched a USC game?
No.
Well, I'm just saying, in the end zone, next time you watch a USC game,
right. They
have all these jerseys in the end zone. They're all retired.
Yeah, you can still wear those numbers, though. It's not like the
game
where it's...
I mean, some schools are really hard on... 32 is retired or 25 is retired.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't Marcus Allen and OJ have the same number?
Who?
Marcus Allen and OJ?
Well, I mean.
I don't know.
There's a finite amount of numbers you could have in certain positions have to use certain numbers. It's like.
That's why they let him have guys on each side of the ball have the same number.
Yeah, yes. But still, yeah.
And that's why Jordan Scott is number 3 this year.
Is he really?
Yes.
I miss that. That's great. Single number on a defensive lineman is great. Always has been. I don't know how many times it's happened. I just remember LeVar Arrington with number 11.
Thibodeau. I thought Thibodeau was like 9.
Thibodeau's 5.
Thibodeau's 5. Yeah, okay.
Armstead was 9.
That's fair. Yeah. All right, you got me.
But it's still pretty rare. It is.
You know who's not doing shit in football this year? Eric fucking Armstead.
Yeah, well.
He got his fucking contract though, didn't he? Fucking loser.
I mean, he's a Niner, so I mean, what do you
expect? You know who's doing fantastic for the number one defense is Buckner and the Colts.
He sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they made their choice. For some reason, that was it. For some reason, their choice was paying Eric Armstead and getting Dee Ford, who's on IR again. What a fucking surprise. Has he ever had a good back? Like, did he grow up with, like, needing to have his spine fused or something like that? And it's just always been the case his entire life?
I love how you're the one upset with Dee Ford when Dee Ford's last snap, basically, on my team was an offsides that, for no reason, yes, cost his team the Super Bowl berth.
Does anyone other than Dee Ford's mom like Dee Ford?
Jed York, apparently.
I can't speak to Jed York liking things. Jed York also thought the turf on Levi Stadium was a good idea.
Well, he also thought Santa Clara was a good idea. So
he also thought hiring Jim Tomsula was a good idea.
He also, thought
Jimmy, Jimmy Garoppolo was a franchise quarterback.
Jim Tomsula, come haunting your sleep. Jim Tomsula.
Look at the chest hair coming out of the shirt.
Oh, you look at that swamp. Here comes Tomsula.
That motherfucker wore a gold chain and a tracksuit coaching NFL football.
He and I forget the character's name. He literally looks like the neighbor of, like, Shake and them in Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Carl?
Carl. He looks like Carl.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we got to get that offense going.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Let me tell you.
Oh, that is wonderful. All right, so before we leave college, three top 25 games postponed this week just because Florida.
Whoa. So we just talked NFL, right?
We're not done with NFL.
Okay, well, yeah. we better not be.
Okay, we'll stick with NFL then. What do you got?
Well, I mean, I'm just wondering.
Your team has Le'Veon Bell. How are you?
Yeah, feeling? Yeah. Is there a defending Super Bowl champion who just signed an All-Pro running back off the trash heap?
Running back.
Ooh. I mean, he was. I'm just saying.
A lot of guys were All-Pro running backs.
I don't think a lot of guys currently are All-Pro running backs.
I'll say the Jets are such a shit show that it just could be that he was not applying himself for the Jets and did not care with the Jets, even though they're paying him a whole bunch of money.
You're trying to say maybe his injury wasn't as serious as it might have been?
So why wasn't he playing this year? Was that an injury thing?
He was on IR, yeah.
For what? I really don't know. He's a Jet. I don't pay attention.
He was on my fantasy team, and so I know he was just on my bench. I never actually looked into what his injury was, though. I think it was like a hamstring.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
I have no idea if he'll be good. I'm currently
looking it up. I mean, your running game is fine. Your offense is fine.
Well, the running game's actually not fine.
Is it not?
No.
Player's not bad.
It was a hamstring injury, by the way.
Honestly, this year and last year, even though they won the Super Bowl last year, the Chiefs are god-awful in short yardage and red zone because they're like, hey, let's run a double reverse with fast guys at the three. For all the good stuff Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy do, which clearly is a lot.
Yeah.
They really are on the third and one or second and two from the three. They're just weird. If I have to see one more Tyreek Hill forced fly sweep from the two, I'm going to kill myself. Everyone knows it's coming. Just run up the middle.
So
would they have still had fucking what's his name, the kid beater?
That was Hill.
No, they're running back.
Adrian Peterson.
Who was that?
Larry Johnson.
Yes, Larry. Well, he said
he's Tomes.
Beater, not crazy Kanon. Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, he's still been balling for the Browns.
Yeah,
right
would now. He still have been under contract?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Just think if that didn't happen. You know, he's still their lead back. All of a sudden, you have if he probably goes to a top five running back in the league, healthy. Isn't that, just think how much scarier this team would be.
Isn't that one of the fucked up things about the NFL? Like, if you're a fan of an NFL team and you have a guy who breaks the law, like, it sucks because he's really good and he can help your team, but you obviously have to cut him. But you know somebody else is going to sign him because that's how the fucking NFL works. They don't care. You only have to care when the guy is currently on your team. When he's not currently on your team, you could sign him for, like, you know, sign him for $1 million a year or whatever. Yeah, we're going to give him a second chance because we believe in second chances. Sure, you fucking do. No, you believe in, like, a good value. Like, look at what Alden Smith is doing right now. How many teams had to cut Alden Smith because of off-the-field shit? Like, he was crazy good for my team.
Well, and the wild thing about Kareem Hunt is that I don't know if you guys – because he never got charged with it.
No.
Or to a low degree. When he got pulled over in this winter out – I think it was in Akron. Because I think he's from Akron, where he got pulled over.
Akron!
He gets pulled over, and he's got booze and weed, and he's crying to the cops saying, like, well, I just fucked my last chance. I'm done in the NFL. And the cool cop story. Is like, I know who you are, man. You're from here. And just kind of went away.
I don't think there's such a thing as done with the NFL unless you murder somebody. Like, unless you're Aaron Hernandez.
Ray Lewis, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's disputed. There's no denying that Aaron Hernandez murdered
people. He was, yeah. Ray was just an accessory to murder.
Yeah, he was there when it happened or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I guess one outlier is Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs.
But he was never charged. I'm sure, that's the thing.
Didn't it come back?
You don't have to be charged as long as it, like, looks bad.
Right.
Didn't it come back that his girl was lying about it, though?
It was just weird on both ends.
Yeah.
I think they're both just toxic people.
Toxic people and bad parents.
And bad, like, I am a Kansas City fan.
Yeah.
And on Twitter, Tyreek Hill makes a lot of really good plays.
Yeah.
I just don't mention him. I'm just like, wow, that guy is great. Because you want to know what? I think he probably did break his kid's arm. Yeah. And I think he probably did punch the kid. But that's the dance you have to dance if you're an NFL fan, because NFL does.
A lot of people went to bat for Adrian Peterson. Like, when that whole thing came out, like, they literally went to bat for him, fighting against people who were talking out against child abuse. Because what he did is textbook child abuse. Like, he hit him with sticks on his genitals when he was misbehaving. Like, are you kidding me? And then you're gonna that's the hill you're gonna stand on, is defending that person. Fuck yourself, like, first of all. And now he stays in the league because he's a great guy, according to these people. Great people don't do that shit. You know, like, I'm tired of hearing that argument from people in the NFL, and then just, you know, justifying them being able to bring in really good athletes who are just shit human beings. It's annoying.
I can't remember if did he get bounced from the Vikes for his injury or for that situation?
I think he was suspended for.
Yeah.
Was he suspended? Like,
it was the 4-game suspension or whatever that Goodell kept giving to everybody.
Was that when he was with the Vikings still, though? Was this?
Yeah.
He was, yeah? All right.
Because when he came back, he was really good.
Yes,
he was. Yeah. Well, he came back off that ACL injury, too, and was just incredible. Yeah. And now he's a starting running back, right? He starts for the Lions.
For the Lions.
Well, yeah, there's no actual starting running back.
Think of how fucking old he is and the injuries he's had and – you know, the fact that he's a starting running back for anybody is just incredible.
I mean, he's still a freak specimen of a human.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, you know, he's our day, like, Herschel Walker, like, size and speed. And,
yeah.
Well, actually, maybe Derrick Henry is that, because that dude's a freak.
Also, big Trump supporter like Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
Actually,
factual sake, Adrian Peterson was suspended for 6 games.
Okay. All right. Good. That shit sucks. Don't do that to your kids.
Shit, that's damn near.
You know, that gets your kids taken away.
That's the biggest suspension you get in the NFL unless you're smoking weed. Then you'll get suspended for years.
Or your offense is caught on camera.
Okay. Or that.
Yes, that is a big.
Yeah. When was the last time you thought about Ray Rice? I thought.
Well, I watch a lot of Rutgers games, so, you know, every Saturday.
Right. All the time. I'm always thinking about him. I had the name Lene Kakua pop into my head the other day.
Is Manti Te'o still in the NFL?
No.
No way. No.
No, he had a nice little run there, but no.
Well,
I'm assuming he wasn't actually?
He probably wasn't that nice.
4 years, right? He played his rookie contract. That's a good run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Statistically, that beats. Yeah. If you play 3 years, you get a pension. So if you got four, good for him.
There you go.
Can you imagine just on that note, man, being a very fringe guy, mm-hmm. being like, if I just play one more year, I get a pension, which right now is like $73,000 a year.
Tough. That'll work.
And of course, in 10 years, it'll get renegotiated and be more.
That'll work.
And you just get cut. Like who would you kill to make that third year?
Yeah.
See, well, you went right. Would you not do all the steroids in the world?
Absolutely. I would do that Kenyon Barner thing.
Yeah.
Pump myself full of roids. And if I get caught, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in the league.
You get
that pension.
You get hurt, fucking have them, you know, pump you up with whatever drugs possible to keep playing. You got to get that year in.
So I remember. No, it's probably like. This is probably three or four
years ago.
So
finish your story and then tell me what the hell you know about Kenyon Barner. Okay.
He was suspended like a week ago for steroids.
Did I miss that?
Okay. Apparently, yes.
My bad. All right, go ahead.
A couple, like 3 or 4 years ago or whatever, I was talking to Sammy Parker at a tailgater, and he was talking about NFL pensions.
Name dropper.
Yes. Kansas City legend, Sammy Parker.
Yeah, right.
And I can't remember.
Talk to him exclusively about his experience with the Chiefs.
4 years or 5 years, and he had to play 5 or 6. I can't remember what it was, but he missed like the second level of pension by 1 year. And that's why he went back to school to graduate, because he was like, but if I hit that, what if I play one more year?
Right.
I remember I was doing, like, at my former job, we met Dan Straley, who you know, went to Thurston. I think he's with the Marlins now.
I thought he's in Korea now.
Yeah, I think he is in Korea now.
I'm not sure what he's up to now, but anyway, he was telling us about how he was like weeks away from arbitration or something for his deal.
Actual payday.
And he got traded or something right before it. And I think that's how he got traded to the Marlins or something. And it just fucked him out of millions of dollars. Oh, yeah. And I remember him not being pretty excited about that.
That's baseball. Baseball's contract structure is awful.
Yeah.
I mean, who is it? Was it Chris Bryant for the Cubs?
Yeah.
Who tried to sue the Cubs? A year ago, like, they've won the World Series. He's made a lot of money, but he's like, listen, like, 5 years ago, you screwed my arbitration. Like, I'm going to sue you.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. Exactly. Yeah.
My arbitration, I got 900 grand.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah, baseball, like, if you hit good in baseball, good. Life-changing money, generational money. But they will manipulate your service time. Especially
that level of like minors to like fringe players, they'll keep your ass down to save a year of paying you peanuts.
Yep.
And so the Red Sox, they signed that Ruzne Castillo. They literally could not, no matter how good he was, they could not bring him up to the bigs because they would have had to pay out so much money to finish out his contract. So they literally just left. I mean, he wasn't good enough to make the roster, but if he was, they would have left his ass at Pawtucket till he was there for like 6 years after they paid him like $40 million.
Yeah, like that. Chris Bryant's just one of them where they bring him up and he does good. And he just knows that on the last day, at the last second, they're going to send him back down because of service time, and it's going to cost him years. It's just brutal.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
And it's things that only really affect the players that are good from a young age, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
You pound 4 years off in the minors. I mean, that's four of your 6 years done right there. It's your 19-year-old stud, you know, Mike Trout, fucking making nothing for 5 years of major league MVP service. It's like, come on. And he gets hurt, let's say, right there in his sixth year. He's not making dick.
And remember when Chris Bryant was coming up that first year, too. Like, everybody was – like, everybody knew about him and knew how good he was and how much better he was than the guy who was playing ahead of him. And they're just like, why is he not playing right now? Like, are you trying to win or not? And finally they got
money.
No, exactly that. They're literally just trying to screw him out of money or, you know, help themselves not have to pay him money. But it's like, that's the line you're drawing. It's like, you don't care enough about winning to actually bring the better player up just so you don't have to pay him millions of dollars. When it's fucking baseball's Monopoly money, dude. Like, you have millions. You're the Cubs. Like, you have endless amounts of money. Just spend your money. Win games. Bring them up. Don't be a dick. That's my hot take. Don't be a dick to a millionaire by not getting millions more. okay, so let's stay on baseball because your Astros are still in it, King.
Are they ever? Yeah. Carlos Correa trying to save baseball one swing at a time.
I mean,
no one wants to see the Rays in the World Series. No one. No one wants to see the Tampa Bay Rays in Arlington at Globe Life Park lift up the World Series trophy.
God, they are the most boring good team I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. I haven't seen them.
They're like your Royals World Series teams. Without Sal Perez.
That Royals team, though, they got off some good-ass gifs, though. Because they would just steal bases and pimp that shit. They would do, like, that chopper thing. And hey, you may not like Station to Station, but they had swag. Tyson was stealing on Lester all night.
You throw some scrub six innings just to get to your 7, 8, 9 guys.
Oh,
that's how the Royals won the World
Series.
It's
funny, though.
That's all that mattered.
So offensive analytics, right, have kind of ruined baseball to a degree. Everyone's swinging for the fences. No one wants a double.
Launch angle. No one wants a walk. Oh, yeah.
But from the pitching standpoint, the Royals were kind of one of those first teams that just made games gross.
Oh.
Where they were like, hey, we're going to bring in 19 relievers. They all throw 100, but they're going to face one guy until we get to the eighth. And then we'll bring in a guy for 2 innings, and we'll have our closer. But other than that, it's 16 guys up, one guy down, next one, next one, next one. Just brutal. I mean, they were beating the Mets in the 15 World Series every game, right? The games were crisp and clean. It was 4-2 every single night. Games were 5 hours because the Royals trotted out 11 relievers.
Literally, that Dodgers game where they scored 11 in the first, that was actually over 4 hours. That game was. Like, the first inning was like an hour and a half. Like, that's crazy. Right.
I think it was the seventh tonight in that game.
Yeah.
I think that bottom half of the inning for the Braves took 40 minutes.
Just amazing. Baseball can drag.
Well, let's say you have two, you know, pitcher changes.
Yeah.
You have, you know, 7 hits in the inning, you know, a couple walks.
Remember when they were trying to speed up the game? Like, they pretty much just stopped that.
Well, I mean, the relievers still have that rule this year. What is it,
though?
Yeah. You still have to face 3 batters.
You got to face 3 batters.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
I think they might have gotten rid of that pitch clock.
Mm-hmm. They did. Yeah, that didn't.
Yeah. They did try to use it for a little while, but it's...
I never like that rule.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't get me wrong. like batter step out of the box way too much. And like Johnny Cueto, good fucking God, Johnny Cueto, just throw the fucking ball. Pitch. Yeah,
throw the ball.
But it just felt a little unnatural. I don't know. Maybe that makes me an old person. But
yeah, you're like a purist.
No, well, hey, I'm fine with the three minimum reliever thing. Start a guy on second in like the 11th, maybe not the 10th, but the pitch clock. I don't know.
Are you fine with that for regular season, like going forward?
Not in the tenth.
You say like 12th, maybe. You know, it's not
11th or 12th.
Man, I don't like it. Period. But the thing is, it's so long, and games go so long.
I get it. I don't. Do you guys know who David Sampson is?
No.
He was the general manager for the Marlins under like Jeffrey Loria in like the early 2000s, and they sold to Jeter.
Before they sold him, yeah. Okay. Right.
And I've listened. He has a podcast on like CBS or whatever, and I've heard him in even within baseball, like general managers, owners, they hate extra innings.
Yeah.
You know, the fans hate it. They know it blows out the arms.
Yeah.
But managers, like the baseball guys, you know, Don Mattingly, you know, they like it because a 20-inning game is a chess match.
Right.
Where he was just saying he would watch these games in the owner's booth. And even looking, you know, talk to the opposing, you know, GM, they're like, "Oh my God, this sucks. We have no bullpen arms for 7 days now. Like, get it over with."
And you use up all your starters as well.
I mean, it is gimmicky. I will say that it's unnatural.
Super gimmicky. It's like the most gimmicky.
That's why I'm not down with it in the 10th.
Yeah.
12th, okay, but just the like Tim Kirkshin is, you know, baseball guy.
Yeah.
And I've heard him argue that there's nothing better, a little hyperbole there, but there's nothing better than those 19-inning games where they have a third baseman throwing 2 innings. It's just wacky baseball. That's awful.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to a couple like 14-inning games.
Oh, it's so brutal.
Someone hit a home run, this game so I could get the hell out of here.
It's fun for people watching the highlights on SportsCenter, but if you're trapped in the stadium, it's a nightmare. It's
brutal.
If you're a player that has to fly out the next day and you get into fucking Kansas City at 7 in the morning on 4 hours of sleep,
no one
likes that shit.
It's funny to say that because I've even been to a few like 9-inning games that have been like 4 hours. I'm like, please let this end in 9.
Oh my God, hurry up.
Lord.
Oh my God. And if you bring a kid to a ball game and it's dragging on like that.
Oh, so you're leaving in the 7th.
The kid's asleep. Like you're either pumping them full of sugar or you're just letting them fall asleep. It's like, why are we here? Like the whole reason I'm here is so the kid will watch a baseball game with me. If the kid's fucking asleep, I don't want to be here. Like, wait a minute. What am I doing with my life? Like, you start asking introspective, like, life questions about yourself because you're at a fucking baseball game.
Because of, like, artificial, like, entertainment, whether that's stuffed animals or nachos or snow cones or a pennant, the only thing more expensive in America than healthcare is taking a kid to a baseball game.
Yeah.
Because you're just, okay, nachos, snow cone.
Yeah, popcorn. Okay.
Popcorn. Cool.
Yeah,
peanuts.
That little frozen lemonade thing. Sure, whatever.
Let's go to the concourse and spend $17 on 3 minutes of, you know, how fast do you pitch? Well, you're 4, so it's 12 miles an hour.
Oh, God, we just finished an entire popcorn and we went through half an inning.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, you got to mix in the three like $18 beers you got to pound down to deal with that shit as well.
That's the good thing about minor league baseball. You got to wait for that beer batter.
Yeah.
When he strikes out, you run right up and get that $2 Ninkasi.
That's why so many kids have their first beer experience at a ballpark is because the parents are just like, ah, fuck. Sit,
drink them.
Like,
that's one thing. That's probably the only thing about Civic Stadium that I really miss.
It was
such a gross and grimy place, and they embraced it. Yeah. They had, you know, like the 50 cent Pabst night, like two or three times a year. Oh, yeah. So good. Like, and, you know, they're only like 8 ounce beers, but you can order like 10 at a time. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. You're just carrying them like this.
You know, and now PK is too nice to where, like, you know, they sell like the $5 Miller Lite, but that's about as whack.
They
as
have standards.
Everything else is, micro brew.
But I mean, this nice, nice 8% Slayer IPA, you know.
Yeah. Let's.
They get that $10.
Hey, fans! It's a Slayer IPA inning. Come on up and get half off a Slayer IPA. Only $12.
This podcast sponsored by Ninkasi.
Oh, please, Ninkasi, if you're out there,
back to us,
Eugene Brand. Let's go.
Ski. Remember the days of the free Ninkasi from the website?
That was great.
Oh yeah.
Oh, hey, here's all these,
here's a case of 22s.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, those are the days. Slang and t-shirts.
Yeah.
Free beer.
By the by, I'm pretty sure I still have a bunch of t-shirts.
getting that Google advertising money.
Woo! I may or may not have about 15 street agent shirts still.
Get out of here. What size do you have?
I think most of them are like XLs. Damn it. Maybe if some there's double XLs.
If there's ever fans at Odson again, I just want to put a box. I just want to take them and put them in a, like, kind of strewn a couple out and leave them in a box, like, outside the Odson, footbridge, and just record to see if people look at them and if they get the reference at this point.
Because
I love my street agents is a pretty dated reference at this point.
For those listening who don't know, I love my Ducks. And then Willie Lyles. I love my street agents. You get it? You figure it out. Google it. It's pretty simple. But the shirts were fantastic. And mine got ruined because back in the day, I used to wear antiperspirant. And antiperspirant, you know how it does that white thing and kind of,
sticky white residue.
Fucking ruin the shirt.
I believe they made whole commercials about the sticky white residue.
They sure did. It's toxic. You shouldn't use it on your body. It's not good. It's not good for you.
Do you guys wear deodorant every day?
Every day, yep.
Really?
I got my pure Sport Old Spice. It smells great.
I'm wearing Kraken Old Spice.
Look at you,
Kraken.
Yeah, you're a big Seattle hockey fan.
Yes.
Yeah. you started buying it when they announced the hockey.
I do love the Old Spice scent names though.
Like Bear Glove.
Bear Glove. Stump smell. What? Tingy twigs. What are you talking about, Old Spice?
I love
Citronella camping site.
There's a team of people who come up with those names too. Checks and balances at many different levels. And they're just like, let's roll with it. Yeah, it's great. It's great. On brand. All right, so
speaking of deodorant, while we're on there.
Ooh, I want to hear this transition.
Where are you guys the biggest sweaters at?
Ooh.
Just on a normal day, like not 120 degrees in the desert, but it's a normal day.
Forehead.
Armpit, back, knees, thighs, head, earlobes.
Forehead. If I run, then it's like back and chest area. Like that, like my shirt gets fucking soaked, like no matter what. But also forehead. Like a lot of sweat comes out of my forehead.
I think my sweat ducts are.
I think it's supposed to, so that's okay.
I think my sweat ducts are wrong. I get fucking a lot of ball sweat. I don't think my body regulates heat very well. It just sends waves of sweat. I get swamped ass very easily.
So are you a gold band? Are you a gold bond guy?
Well, except for it causes cancer. Pretty sure.
That's unfortunate.
So,
allegedly.
Well, allegedly.
You brought up the question. How about you, Swamp Nuts?
Yeah, right.
I'm just a forehead guy.
Yeah.
I don't really sweat out of my pits.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you know, my lower back sometimes, right where it says, like, insert here, gets a little sweaty, but.
The tramp stamp.
Hey, it was 2005. What are you gonna do? Cabo. It was Cabo. What are you gonna do?
Different times, guys. Different times, guys.
Yeah.
15 years ago, those were crazy days. Bush administration.
Kellen Clemens was an athletic quarterback in 2005. He probably runs like a 5.140. Was TV even in color then? I mean, like Oregon road games, you had to go to like the bars for illegal streams in 2005.
No, you were listening to them on the radio.
Well, they had like the closed circuit TV.
They had the closed, yeah. If you looked and saw, they're playing at Washington State, well, that's not going to be on TV.
Yeah, I had to watch a handful of games at McShane's here.
Just yep, McShane's, yes.
They always had that closed circuit.
Yes, McShane's was so good at that.
It was like overtime off of West 11th or whatever had that closed circuit too. Yeah. And it was mostly Washington State games, by the way.
Yes, and maybe a Stanford game. Everyone.
Those are the memories I have of going to those bars to watch Duck games. It's all Cougars. Jesus.
Somehow Oregon lost a lot of those.
I know. Speaking of losing, Nick Saban has COVID.
What a corona, bro.
Yeah, and he's a super spreader too because he gave it to his AD as well. Good stuff.
I did enjoy the SEC exploring all the options yesterday on how they could get Saban in the stadium or the sideline to coach before they were like, Yeah, probably optically that's not great.
Get fucked, you guys.
Put him in a hermetically sealed. I was gonna say,
can you bubble boy him?
They tried to figure it out, but they
someone
couldn't.
Better brought that up because that's the best idea you could have. The straight bubble boy him.
I forget who there was like a band who tried to like they simulated a concert this week. And they literally had themselves in huge bouncy bubble ball things. And they had like the people in the crowd also in big bouncy bubble ball things. It was the weirdest fucking picture I've ever seen. And they're like, is this the future of concerts? No, because this is going to not be around forever. But it's like the
bubble ball from Bubble Boy, the movie.
Yeah. Very similar.
One of those things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They were in those things.
The Moops.
The Moops. See that guy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I could not believe it.
The Moops.
Yeah, so the SEC is kind of a shit show. Like, and, you know, surprise, surprise, it's, you know, coming straight out of Florida where, you know, the state itself has completely reopened. They never really cared about COVID in the first place. And now, you know, they still don't and they care even less. Over the last like month or so. So of course Florida had like, it was 20 or so.
22, I think.
Yeah. 22 cases. And like, it's obviously not safe to field a roster without 22 players.
Well, I mean, Vanderbilt played with 56 players last week. Jeez. They're not playing this week because the threshold finally dipped too low. They played with 56 players.
That's incredible. Which,
if you want to spin it, Bill, that's enough. It's not when you have, 90 scholarship guys, you know, usually. I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
Again, well, they shouldn't even be playing at all.
Well, especially when the Florida COVID was preceded by, they were going to try to get, 90,000 people?
90,000, fill that 90, swamp.
90,000 people, yeah.
I do love it. Florida loses to Texas A&M to give that fake military school their biggest win since 2012. Mm-hmm. And they all of a sudden, Mullen's like, well, we lost because they had fans. So we need 90,000. Good luck with that.
I did watch some of those highlights, and it was weird seeing all – like it you know, they're not filling the stadium or anything like that, but these schools are really pushing.
Schools are lying.
There are people sitting next to each other with no masks, like just huge.
Just last week, Clemson, A&M, Georgia, liars. Yes. Yes. Oh, we have 20% capacity.
The Clemson.
Georgia?
Yeah.
Georgia and Clemson? Yeah. You guys didn't even hide it.
No.
At least A&M had, they kind of fudged it by having empty pockets. Mm-hmm. Clemson, you guys had like 55% capacity.
They did. That was the big one. Clemson and Miami. Like, there were a ton of people in that stadium. And by the way, quick note about that game. Like, Miami's fun, but Miami's not even close yet. Like, they were outclassed completely by Clemson in that game.
All about the ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, their quarterback transfer from Houston or whatever. Like, he's not there. He's not Trevor Lawrence.
Their best players are a transfer from Houston, a transfer from Temple. and a transfer from UCLA. The U's not back. Even though all those players are pretty good, they're still not back.
Yeah. Temple?
Yeah.
Temple?
Yeah.
By the way, I just found out that Oregon's backup quarterback is a transfer as well. He's like the grad transfer from Boston College. Like,
absolutely.
Anthony Brown or whatever.
Anthony Brown, yeah.
He's not going to play. He knows that, right? Yeah. Like, unless, I mean, okay, that, to be fair, Oregon quarterbacks get hurt all the time. But he's not starting over Shuck.
I guess you could say Oregon quarterbacks historically have bad Shuck. Health-wise.
I would not say that. You would say that. You have said that. I really wish you didn't say that.
Here's the funny thing. You remember you're talking about how, you know, the colleges don't give a shit about attendance and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I was seeing how the Saints were whining and complaining about not having fans. So they were talking about going to Baton Rouge to possibly play.
Baton Rouge?
I saw that.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is I was looking up. I wanted to see how many people Death Valley held. And on the Wikipedia page, if you search for the Tiger Stadium at Death Valley, in the little, like, you know, the address location, it says the owner. Take a guess who the owner on Wikipedia is of Tiger Stadium.
Mike Leach.
Co-owners Mike Leach and KJ Costello. You might want to take that down now after game
yeah.
one.
Yeah, yeah. The 1-2 Mississippi State yeah. Bulldogs.
That is an oversight at this point. Like, somebody changed that and then somebody forgot they changed that and haven't fixed it yet.
I think my favorite stat from last week in college football was that Kentucky beat Mississippi State like 26-2, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a battle of Pac-12 transfers, KJ Costello,
yep.
and Terry Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the Kentucky offense won. Kentucky won by like 24. And I'm pretty sure Kentucky had like 156 yards of total offense. Oh. I'm pretty sure that was the stat.
How do you score that many points?
Well, when the quarterback for the opposing team has 6 picks,
that'll do it.
Kick a lot of field goals.
That'll do it. So the Ducks, I mean, we're close, I guess. So Ducks are going to play soon. They haven't had anything crazy happen. It's weird because I've been watching a little bit of the media availability, which is basically the players sitting in, you know, the Hatfield Dowling complex doing Zoom calls with reporters and stuff. And so it's interesting to hear them talk about their process so far. And then obviously the team's Instagram and Twitter, they're posting content and stuff every day from practices, which is the only way people are going to get to see any of them. But looking at flow practice, like, that kid is like you can tell with, like, you know, 18-year-olds who are 5-stars, like, you can really tell just by looking at them. Like, remember Jonathan Stewart? Like, he looked like a 5-star. Kayvon Thibodeau looked like a 5-star. I remember, so I was covering them. I went out to practice the first time he had media availability, because I remember, like, Willie Taggart wouldn't let freshmen do media availability. He, like, kept them from it. And then Cristobal took over, and he didn't care. And so he just let him do whatever. And he looked like a 28-year-old and talked like a 28-year-old. Like, he was more mature than all of the people asking him questions. And he was talking about, like, his upbringing in Compton and how he wanted to, you know, do all these things for the community and blah, blah, blah. I was like, this motherfucker – I literally looked at Eric Scopel, and I'm like, this motherfucker's 18 years old. What is this? Like, this is a different breed of human being. And, like, you look at Flo – just running around, and he looks like that.
Well, like, the scary thing is that Flo and Sewell probably won't be even starters.
Well,
to start. Well, let's preface it by to say, they not. I don't think they're going to start the season as starters.
Well, who's going to start in front of them? Slade Matuatia or whatever, and then
Funa?
Samson New?
No, he's not playing. He's like out right now. Right? Okay. No, he's
Is he doing COVID?
No, he's dealing with some personal issues. He's not even in town.
Okay.
Sounds like he's taking the year off.
Okay. And then who was the other guy you said?
Mace Funa?
Mace Funa. But he's like a defensive end, isn't he? They don't need defensive ends. I forgot Austin Fallyu's coming back, by the way. Like, Austin Fallyu's really good. And he, alongside, like, Jordan Scott – they're really good. And Thibodeau up front too. Like, that defense, I mean, you know, losing Graham and Holland aside, they're really good. Like, pretty much across the board.
It's going to be interesting to see Thibodeau on the field, you know, for a full game.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know, kind of, you know, they kind of babied him. Mm. You know, kept him, put him in for, you know, the right situations.
Let him figure it out. But, like, towards the end of the year, he did. And he was unblockable. So we'll see, man. I don't know if, you know, Sewell and Flo, if they're going to have that same, you know, learning curve. You know, they take half a season, which is basically going to be the entire season. So we'll see. We'll see. They've also had a lot of extra time to work out. So who knows? I am starting to get that, like, that feeling though, with, like, when fall camp starts and you're like, okay, a game is actually close. Oregon football is actually going to happen. I'm starting to get excited, I guess. Cause I like, college football season so far has no feel at all. And so it'll be nice to have, you know, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, you know, just
again, like, be a part like of there was it. A game. There's a game tonight, you know, one team has played four games. The other team's played two. It is just,
yeah. And we're still just canceling games left and right. Yeah. It's funny because these SEC teams that were, like, touting themselves is like, yeah, we were brave, we were ahead of it, we're starting, we're playing all these games. They're not actually going to end up playing many more games than the Pac-12 or the Big Ten, just because they keep having to fucking cancel because they're idiots and they live in Florida.
No, just one last tiny little quick thing on Flo.
Sure.
My only concern with Flo is if you watch his highlights in high school, he's not going to be able to pick up guys and suplex them like WWF with regularity like he did in high school. That's my only thing.
Maybe.
That he's going to face, like, yeah. I don't even know. I'm just making up a Cal fullback on a carry, and he thinks he can square him up, and he's just going to get shit rocked.
He will get run over a couple of times this
Which
year.
Is fine.
Yeah.
But that's actually completely fine.
It happens.
I mean, to be honest, Troy Dye got ran over a lot too because he weighed like 209 pounds. But he got ran over for different reasons. Yeah. His technique was at least sound.
Yes. But also, I mean, he was playing with broken limbs half the time too. So that doesn't help Troy Dye. But yes, you're absolutely right. It was a shame watching those games too, where he had like the broken thumb and he had the huge cast and he could not wrap up on people. It was a shame because, you know, he's so good, but he can't physically tackle these people just because they're really high level athletes. and you need to be able to grab them to tackle them sometimes. And so that was, it was always a shame watching him have to deal with that. Should we talk about the Lakers winning a title?
Yeah. No.
No.
Yeah, it was a given.
It just occurred to me. We're like
more of a fight.
Here's the thing. We talked about this last, 2 weeks ago, right, when the conference finals happened.
Right.
The playoffs were great, that regular season run up were great. The Western Conference, Eastern Conference finals, and then the finals, not great. There was no feel to them.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing I said a couple weeks ago. Frank Vogel's up there. Los Angeles, we did it for you. And there's no one there. And it was just weird. Yeah. It was just weird. And the players were weird. If you want to watch it back, go watch the podium celebration again.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird and awkward. And they, halfway in, they ask Anthony Davis a Kobe question. And since none of the players are listening, uh-huh, like, LeBron starts fucking around with AD, not knowing that, like,
he's talking about something serious.
A serious question. And AD's flummoxed and has nothing to say. And then the mics start picking up other players talking. It was super awkward.
Yeah.
Well, you could tell when Danny Green was happier to get the fuck out of the bubble than he was.
Holy shit. He was done. Yeah. And he should be done. Everybody else was done with him.
He got that.
Even non-Laker fans are like, dude, you are trash. Like, take your ring and fucking go climb in a hole, dude.
I did enjoy how Snoop Dogg, stole my little shitty Photoshop of Danny Green.
Yes! Like, internet superstar.
Stole is.
Yeah, that is thievery. It's funny because I didn't know you made that. And so I remember when I first saw it circulating. I follow like a rapper, and he posted it on his Instagram right after you made it. And I was like, dude, this is fucking hilarious. And I started sharing it with everybody. I think I posted it on the TSB pod Twitter. And I was like, this is fucking great. This is genius. And I had no idea it was you until last week. And I'm like, oh shit. This is like the most popular thing in the whole world.
Yeah. Yeah, my phone, kind of blew up that night.
My guy, that was big time.
So Snoop, if you're listening,
yeah,
just 50 grand. That's all I want.
He's definitely listening.
Definitely.
I like how they left Cook behind. Like, that was another funny part, too.
That was the best part of the finals.
Yeah. Like, them leaving Quinn Cook at the arena. How do you leave? By the way, like, how far away is it from where they're staying?
Pretty far.
Is it?
That campus is huge, like miles.
And he had to fucking walk.
Yeah.
I think the funnier thing is that I didn't know Quinn Cook was on the team.
I didn't either.
I didn't know Quinn Cook was there.
That is when we learned that Quinn Cook was on the Lakers. Oh, my God. He was so salty, too. It's like the way we find out is, like, in LeBron's Instagram stories, he's doing, like, a live thing. And Quinn Cook's, like, commenting on it, like, guys, I'm still here. This is fucked up. I win a championship and I got to walk. Ah! He did play 1 minute in their win. He missed it.
Other than the Quinn Cook stuff, the most memorable part to me, or amusing, however you want to parse it, of the Lakers winning was Aaron Fentress going on every single radio station in the Northwest.
Yeah.
And saying, well, he's not trying to diss LeBron, and then spending 40 minutes as a guest dissing LeBron and saying Jordan would do whatever. Someone on Twitter literally, and it could be fake, it could be, they put a compilation together. I think it was a 4 Fentress interviews from like Monday where he literally just said, I'm not dissing LeBron, but blah, 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 blah. And then the next one, I'm not saying LeBron, but LeBron, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Dude, you're like in your 50s.
Yeah.
Stop. No one was having that argument but you.
No, it's a boring argument at this point.
It's so boring.
Nobody wants to have that argument. Nobody is arguing with you. Like, you're arguing with yourself. Like, stop it. Nobody cares.
One of his big points, this is when I knew he was just, there was no point.
Yeah.
Was one of his big things was, well, LeBron didn't have to face Kyrie in the Nets.
What?
Hey, I mean, Kyrie's a world champion.
He didn't actually say Kyrie, did he?
Yeah.
He said Kyrie instead of Durant?
Well, you know, I think Durant was implied.
Yeah, I would say Durant over Kyrie, by the way.
Well, yeah, you think?
Because he's a better basketball player. Gotcha. But that's okay. That's just me.
It's such
Spencer Dinwiddie over Kyrie.
It's just
easy.
It's just such a dumb, dusty argument that no one cares about.
Don't go to Skip Bayless level. Don't do that to yourself. You don't have to do that.
I love how when it was very apparent, not that it wasn't the whole time, but when it was just a cement lock, the Lakers were winning, Skip Bayless pivoted to, why LeBron winning the championship in 2020 hurts his legacy. Yeah, that was his thing.
And why does it hurt his legacy?
Well, because he didn't have to face Kyrie and Durant. The Warriors were gone. Kobe's not playing. Jordan's a GM. I mean, what? They were in a bubble. He had AD and Caruso.
And Caruso.
Didn't have to face the Clippers. Didn't have to play the Bucks. And what I love about that thing is, didn't have to play the Celtics. They didn't have to play the Bucks. Well, you want to know who did have to play the Celtics?
That's how the playoffs work.
The Heat. Yeah. And they kicked the shit out of the Heat, who kicked the shit out of the Celtics and kicked the shit out of the Bucks. The bubble was weird. Whatever. It was a legit championship. Move on.
There's no argument that winning a title hurts his legacy.
And what's going to be great is if you just kind of look at cap space, health provided, the Lakers will probably be better next year than they were this year.
Yeah.
Because they're probably going to get like a Victor Oladipo.
Or a Carmelo Anthony.
He'll be like the five guy. Yeah. You know? I was reading something today, they're trying to work in Victor Oladipo and Chris Paul, which isn't going to happen.
Is Victor Oladipo good?
Yes.
He's okay.
He's still coming off that injury.
I don't know, man.
He didn't look great with the pace.
Okay, well, if he's your number three under LeBron and AD, he's really good.
He'll take it. Yeah. Taking over Danny Green.
I think the bigger thing to come out of the finals is, are the Heat legit, contenders out of the East for the next, 4 years here?
Yeah.
Who the hell knows
who Jimmy Butler's going to be from year to year? You know?
I mean, is this a fluky bubble run out of them, or are they actually
Adebayo?
Hero?
I'm not smart enough basketball-wise to listen to people talk about Bam Adebayo's rotations on defense being elite as part of a reason why he's next level. I just tune that out. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, elite guys just make bad angles and block shots. I don't know. I'm dumb. Rotating at the top of the key, okay. I guess Tim Duncan did that too, and you want to know what? I don't care. He went 5-1 the finals, and no one cares about Tim Duncan.
No one cares.
We'll see. I don't know is my answer to that. Well, that's the thing about the East too, is – there's no clear front runner in the East. They're all kind of in the same area, several levels below the top teams in the West. And who the hell cares who's going to come out of the East every year? Because they're going to lose to the Lakers. Because the Lakers were the best team at the start of the year. They were the best team during the year. They were the best team at the end of the year. And they're probably going to be that.
Do it in the West, LeBron. Do it in the West.
They're going to be that next year, too. They're going to be that the year after that, too.
Dude against the Monstars, LeBron.
He's about to, bruh. He's about to.
If movies are ever a thing again, sure.
Yeah, good point. I don't know. Tenet was out everywhere. That's about it, though.
I think that was it. And I think they're disappointed that they put it out.
Yeah. And then they're doing a whole bunch of old movies in the theaters now too. I think we talked about it, didn't we?
But like last week, I think last Thursday, Regal shut everything down nationwide.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Cinemark. We still got Cinemark out in Springfield. So if y'all want to go watch Princess Bride or Ghostbusters, get your ass out there.
Ghostbusters 2 is better.
Beetlejuice, I think it was.
I know you guys aren't knocking the big blockbuster that came out on Netflix like 2 weeks ago.
Are you talking about the Halloween movie that Adam Sandler made?
Hubie Halloween?
Talking about Hubie Halloween.
I watched it. I watched it. Did you?
Oh, God, no.
No.
You want to know what? It's not bad.
It's not bad, yeah. Sandler's in that.
You
want to
know what, though?
It's better than his other Netflix stuff. A lot of Easter eggs in there where if you've watched other Sandler stuff, you're like, you're like that Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood meme where you're pointing at the TV with the cigarette. I know that guy. I mean, Dan Patrick is in it. I mean, come on.
Yeah, somehow he is really good friends with Jennifer Aniston and is able to get her in all of his movies. And then he tries to get Dan Patrick in every once in a while too. It's really weird. But he's got that sweet spot. He's got that Tyler Perry sweet spot. You know, he's got his dedicated audience who's always going to watch his shit no matter what. They're always going to like it. And they're going to get a ton of views and they're going to make that shit a whole bunch of money for Netflix. Like,
it's his best Netflix movie. I say that confidently.
What was the
one? Bar's not high on that, but it's not bad.
What was the one that just came out with David Spade that he like produced? I forget.
The Wrong Missy.
The Wrong Missy or something. Yeah. I heard that was okay too.
I'll tell you what, it is a great time to be like Tim Meadows and Rob Schneider and David Spade, because you're collecting checks off all these terrible Sandler movies.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Out for your friends. That's what he does. Yeah.
And Sandler is the best at that.
He is.
I think he writes, I think he uses the same writer, Tim Herlihy, for like all these
Yeah, Tim Herlihy. Yep. Yeah. They've been writing together since fucking SNL. Yeah.
It's a shame not to see Covert as much anymore.
Yeah.
Writing and starring in his movies with him. But Kevin James, he uses the same cast, just a different movie, same cast.
Yeah, where is Covert? Grandma's Boy is a fucking classic.
20 years old now also.
That's a good point. Your ass is browner than my face. All right, let's do our list. What is our list?
I lied to you about our list.
Ooh.
I wanted to pull a fast one on you.
All right.
So today's list, I'm just going to name names, and you get to choose.
Okay.
In celebration, I got ahead of myself. I thought the Tampa Bay Rays were going to close it out and reach the World Series.
Okay.
Carlos Correa ruined. So fuck him. Fuck the Astros.
Well, no, he's your favorite player on your favorite team. So
yeah, maybe Altuve, to be honest. So today's list.
I don't like to take my shirt off either, Jose. It's fine.
Is 2020 or 2000 Devil Ray?
Ooh!
Who wants to go first?
I got it. Yes, please. Which, by the way, 2000 Devil Rays, fantastic uniforms. Like some of the best of all times. Like the multicolored ray, like Devil Rays across the front, just too good.
Wait, so you're going to throw out a name.
And you're going to tell me 2000 or 2020 Devil Ray?
Jose Canseco.
Oh, I could have said, come on.
Wade Boggs.
Miguel Cairo.
Is it too soon to say Wade Boggs? Sorry, Ski. My bad.
Fucking Boggsy.
You said Miguel Cairo?
Miguel Cairo.
That's 2000.
That is correct.
Yeah, it is.
Ski, here's a name. Third baseman, Yandy Diaz.
That's 20.
That is correct.
What is that supposed to be, by the way? There it is. That did not come through either time you tried.
Is that a fucking kazoo?
Yeah. Look, Brother Man.
Birthday thing. It's a party favor.
Yeah, Brother Man has kids. He's going to have that stuff laying around.
Yeah. Alex, you're up.
Yeah, I'm ready.
LB Lopez.
I'll be sure. 2000. That's my wheelhouse, baby. 2000 Rays? Come on.
At catcher, Kevin Smith.
The clerk's director?
I was going to say, did he just pick the whitest name possible? And
all rats.
Kevin Smith. are we doing bullpen catchers? Is that?
Starting catcher, Kevin Smith. 2000. Your Tampa Bay Rays starting catcher in 2000, John Flaherty.
Oh, yeah. All right. My turn?
Your turn.
Okay.
Starting right fielder for Tampa Bay, Jose Guillen.
I mean, Jose Guillen, Jesus. I get Kevin Smith.
This is great. 2000. Yeah. You guys, I'm just excited to be playing a game.
Right?
This is fun. This is fun for me. Also, I'm winning because I'm clearly the more knowledgeable. No big deal. By the way, real quick, is that one of those like toy microphone things that like has the little vibrate?
No, it's a stadium announcer microphone from the dollar store that I bought today at 6:30.
Oh shit.
These names are a little more obvious than I thought they were when I looked at the roster. Especially the 2000 Rays.
You gonna say Tino Martinez and have a guess?
Starting at shortstop for your Tampa Bay Rays, Willie Adames.
That's 20. I wasn't as excited. I wasn't exuberant of a fucking blow on that one for me.
Yeah, that was.
All right, here. I'll make this a little harder.
That was half-hearted.
All right, Alex, this is you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go blank first name. Ooh. Give me the last name. You got to tell me the first name.
Okay.
For your Tampa Bay Rays, Kiermaier.
Kevin? Kevin from 2000. 20. I think you forgot to hold that one up to the mic.
All right, Ski. This one's you. Designated hitter for your Tampa Bay Rays, Bubba.
Wait, his last name's Bubba, right?
First name
Bubba. I'll go Bubba Sparks.
Bubba Trammell.
Bubba Trammell. That's a fake person.
When it comes to this one, it's getting ugly up in here. Up in here.
Oh. as you have anymore.
Starting at third base for your Tampa Bay Rays, not my cousin Vinny.
What?
I'll give Roggen a chance here.
Not
I
my
just
cousin
added
Vinny.
A nickname. That's not yeah. his nickname. His first name is still Vinny.
I got nothing.
Vinny Castilla?
Castillo!
Castillo!
And then just because I like these names, yeah. Starting in left field for your 2000 Tampa Bay Devil Rays, Greg Vaughn!
Yeah. Greg Vaughn.
At first base for your 2000 Tampa Bay Devil Rays, Tom Amansky's favorite, Fred the Crime Dog! Yeah. The
imagine if he had asked us that one.
Right, it's like, oh.
And rotting away on the bench, 1 year after a 40 home run season and 29 stolen bases out of nowhere. How do you get 40 and 20 out of nowhere? Jose Canseco!
Yeah. Still remains one of my favorite baseball players of all time.
And thus concludes Devil Ray or Ray.
Who is the manager? Since we'll keep it me and you going here.
Sure.
Who is the manager for the 2000 Rays?
What's his name? God damn it. What's his name? He was the famous manager from like the other team. I can't remember his name.
I think it was Larry Rothschild.
Larry.
Okay, then I was thinking of somebody else.
Yeah.
Maybe someone should look that up.
Probably the person who looked up all these names earlier. Devil Rays manager, 2000. Come on, Google.
It was Larry Rothschild. Did Lou Piniella ever manage for the Rays? I think he did, didn't he? During the Rocco Baldelli era? Scott Kazmir? Mir.
That would have been, yeah, what, like, was that, no, like, mid-2000s?
It was Lou.
When they wore vests. Piniella.
Yeah.
It was Lou Piniella.
Sweet Lou.
So they had Larry Rothschild, Hal McRae, Lou Piniella, Joe Maddon, and Kevin Cash.
Hal McRae? Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that probably wasn't the strongest Rays team they've put out in this 20 years.
He went 113 and 196 in his 1 year. Or no.
Not a pension, that is not more than
1 year. That is 2 years. Yeah. That is too many games for 1 year. Piniella had a 40% winning percentage. Rothschild had 41%. Joe Maddon had 51%. Kevin Cash has 51%. And yet here they are, a win away from the fucking World Series. Sounds about right. All right, let's get to trivia because it's fucking late. We've been doing this for too long. My trivia, and this is another kind of surprise one because I didn't – like normally I tell you guys what the trivia is going to be. I did not do that this week. Our trivia this week is athletes / coaches with COVID. I'm going to give you some information about a person, and then you're going to have to tell me who that person is. And this person has had COVID. Are we ready?
Let's do it!
Nice.
All right, I'm done with this.
You said do it. who wants to start this one? I don't really care.
I'll start.
We usually try to go with whoever won last week, but I don't give a fuck. All right. This golfer has been engaged to hockey royalty since 2013. They have two kids. He has won a PGA event in each of his first 13 seasons on the tour, closing in on Jack's record of 17. He has one major victory, the U.S. Open, in 2016. He has also had COVID. Who is this person?
God, I should have gone first.
Dustin Johnson?
That is correct. Dustin Johnson. Nice work. All right. that's not necessary. Skeet, this soccer star began his professional career playing for Sporting Club de Portugal, then went on to sign with Manchester United at 18. He is the first soccer player ever to earn $1 billion in his career.
Ronaldo.
Had COVID. Who is it?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
That is true. Good job.
One of the two soccer players.
What gave it away, the $1 billion part?
Well, it was either him or Messi. Yeah. And he's Portuguese, so.
Yeah, Messi is from Argentina.
Yeah. Yep. That's
good work. All right, King. This basketball player quit the sport at 13 years old because he wanted to focus on horse racing. He cleaned barns while training to become a harness horse rider. When he eventually got back into basketball, he had a 4-liter-a-day Coca-Cola habit he had to kick to get in shape. Who is that person who also had COVID?
It's like a current NBA player?
Yeah. He's an all-star.
Rudy Gobert.
Incorrect. Ski, your option.
Just think of him fucking in a harness race.
I don't know.
Trying to fucking jockey that thing. It has to be someone small.
Ski, your options. Luka Doncic, Rudy Gobert, or Nikola Jokic?
He actually had Gobert on there?
Yeah, Gobert was there, yeah.
Jokic.
That is correct. The 4-liter-a-day Coca-Cola habit should have given that one away. I love
that. That's not very healthy.
I love that one. That is not healthy at all. All right, King. Oh, wait, no. It's, nope. Yeah. Let's see. This NASCAR driver won 5 straight Sprint Cup championships and is tied with Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt for the most ever with 7. His main sponsor until 2018 was Lowe's. He also made an appearance as himself in the film Herbie Fully Loaded.
Oh, no.
He also had COVID. Who is this person?
I'm going to say Jimmy Johnson.
That is correct. Man, you guys are nailing this. These are some pretty big names, by the way, that I have been saying so far. All right, so 3-1, Ski with the lead. A couple of these are going to be pretty easy here. King, this tennis star has a habit of eating grass when he plays Wimbledon. He also wrote a book called Serve to Win, which includes a 14-day gluten-free cookbook, as he is gluten intolerant. He has won 17 Grand Slam titles in his career. He also had COVID. Who is he?
Novak Djokovic.
That is true. Nice work. This is
he really eats grass?
Yes, he eats grass at Wimbledon only, apparently. Wow. I don't know if he's eating clay too. I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Well, if you look at his vaccination stance, he probably does eat clay. No, protein.
Ooh, delicious. All right, Ski.
Wait, while you're on tennis, I just realized that it was like the French Open finals was like
last week.
Five days ago. No idea that tournament was going
on the red clay.
No idea it was going. But not a shocker that it was Nadal and Jokic in the finals.
Tennis?
Tennis.
I can't remember the last time I paid attention to tennis. Oh, yes, I can. Pete Sampras?
Yeah. Mark Philippoussis?
Pete Sampras. There you go. All right, Ski. This NFL head coach broke the picket line in 1987 to play quarterback for the Bears. In three games, he completed 34% of his passes for 79 yards. Also threw an interception, no touchdowns. Went on to coach running backs at San Diego State when Marshall Faulk was there. He was also suspended for an NFL season. Also had COVID. Who is this coach?
This is a current coach as well?
Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have given you that hint, by the way.
What, the coaching? Oh, that he's
current? He is a current coach, yeah.
Who would get COVID?
Who would get COVID? That's great.
And he was also a scab fucking quarterback.
He's a scab quarterback
as well.
A very bad one.
John Gruden.
Nope. King, your options.
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton is the answer. Nice work.
Yes.
By Aztecs, baby.
Gruden was an option, by the way.
Yeah, that's a scab quarterback if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, he looks like a scab quarterback. All right, we are all knotted up at three, fellas.
It's crunch time.
All right, this basketball player grew up a Toronto Raptors fan, wanted to play for them, but ended up a top five pick elsewhere. Some stats. 10-time All-Star, 1-time MVP, won 4 scoring titles in his time. One of the only players to ever win Rookie of the Year, a league title, and a gold medal. Also had COVID. Who is it?
Is this my turn?
Yeah.
He grew up a Raptors fan?
Mm-hmm. Wanted to play for them.
And he won an MVP?
Yep.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Nope. Incorrect. Ski, your options. Chris Paul, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony.
4 scoring titles.
Mm-hmm.
He said there was and won a championship.
Yep.
So, you know, it's not Melo.
And a gold medal. And Rookie of the Year.
Kevin Durant.
And a 10-time All-Star. It is Kevin Durant.
I am calling complete bullshit on Kevin Durant wanting to be a Raptor as he grew up in Baltimore, Maryland.
He grew up a Vince Carter fan.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Right, yeah.
That's what I read. Take it up with Wikipedia, motherfucker.
I believe you. I just think Kevin Durant's a liar. And he has no rings, by the way.
He has no rings. I mean, he does.
Those are Steph, Clay's, and, you know, Draymond's rings.
That's fair. All right, so let's see. Ski, you just got that one.
Wait, hold on. Before we're
– Yeah.
How many years was Quinn Cook with him? How many rings did he get with the Warriors?
I think maybe just one.
Just one? I was going to say, could he have 3 rings, Quinn Cook?
Is that one of the most prolific basketball players ever?
Well, he's been in the league for like 5 years too.
I love that. All right. Let's see. So this one is Ski again, right?
Yeah.
So you can win it with this next one.
Ooh.
This Jamaican-born NBA star was the first ever pick under the NBA draft lottery rules in 1985. Went on to be named Rookie of the Year despite only playing 50 games due to injuries. He was elected to the NBA or the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2008. He also had COVID. Who is this person?
85. Jamaican.
Mm-hmm.
Jamaica. We got a bobsled team.
John Candy.
Is it John Candy? Yeah.
Feel the ride.
I'm going to go 85.
It's bobsled time.
It's bobsled 85
time. 85 was, I don't think he's Jamaican, though. Olajuwon.
Nope. Your options, King.
I already know this one.
Let me give you your options. Manute Bol, Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing.
Patrick Ewing.
There are so many things I like.
I only knew the Jamaican one because, like, a month ago when John Thompson died, they talked about Patrick Ewing being Jamaican. I was like, what?
Like, what?
He's Jamaican.
He was also.
I had no idea.
He also has 2 gold medals playing for Team USA. So he's Jamaican.
Very confusing.
He's from the islands, and yet he sweats that profusely. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I'm calling bullshit just based on that. Oh, okay. So the last two I have left are pretty easy, and it's King's turn. So let's see. This NFL player went to Texas A&M before becoming a Super Bowl champion,
Bust.
Defensive Rookie of the Year, and 3-time All-Pro. Who it?
Von Miller.
That is correct. And that means you are a winner for guessing Von Miller. Still just doesn't come through at all.
Wait, so King starts and gets the last question?
I guess. Well, I still have one more. He just won. He got five.
Don't I have 4?
You do.
Yeah, there should be one question left.
He wants the tie.
Yeah.
Okay, let's give it a shot.
I'm going to shortchange me here on a question.
All right, let's give it a shot. All right. This legendary college coach was an assistant at Kent State in 1970 when the National Guard fired on students who were protesting the Vietnam War. In fact, he said he was planning to attend the rally but got there after the shooting occurred. Says he saw the dead people. Says his biggest coaching influence is Don James, even though he was an assistant to Bill Belichick with the Browns. Who is it? He also had COVID, by the way.
So I assume we're talking a football coach here.
Legendary college coach.
Just college, not give me a sport.
Biggest coaching influence is Don James.
Yeah.
He was an assistant with Bill Belichick. What more do you need to hear, Steve?
Oh, he was an assistant. All right.
Yes. Fucking Don James, by the way.
Right. He should automatically just be disqualified.
I'm saying.
What, is he a cheater?
No comment.
No comment. Who's an Ohio guy? I got no one. Ohio guy, 72. I mean, he's old guy. Nothing. Pass. Done. Nothing. King wins.
I'm running up the middle here when I should just be taking a knee on the ball.
Nick Saban. It is Nick Saban. Oh. Yes, it is. Yep.
Look up Nick Saban, Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. He looks younger today with COVID than he did in like 94 as a Browns assistant.
Belichick was wearing him out. Yeah.
Not even close.
He was a mess.
Big old glasses. He looked like a weirdo.
How about that, by the way, though? He was at Kent State when the shooting happened. Ooh. That's crazy. He was almost shot at the Kent State rally.
Wish they would have shot Don James. Why didn't he have a social stance?
So that's why his
Don James did have a social stance. Probably wasn't on that their side.
Yeah, we probably don't want to know Don James' social stance.
If it goes by how he treated his players.
Bow down indeed.
Yeah. What do you mean, man? He was big in Wow. I was going to say, he was big into socialism, man, giving his players money and cars and stuff. Yeah. What's wrong with, I don't get it.
From the grave, he's voting for old Biden. Yeah.
Yeah, he's Team Biden for sure. No. All right, guys. That shit was fun, by the way. We should do that. You're like in charge of last minute fucking list segments every time from now on. That was fun. All right. See y'all next week. Or are we just calling it off here? Should we just end it?
Yeah, see you next week.
Let's do a walk-off like your boy Carlos Correa.